Hey, welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Puma.
And I'm Tori.
We're glad that you joined us today. We've been talking about integrity.
Yep, yeah.
Integrity series and looking at a bunch of examples of integrity, those lived and that God preserved for us in His Word to help us to understand what integrity is. And our theme verse is from Proverbs 11:3. Tori, you want to share with us what that
Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the duplicity or the crookedness of fools will destroy them.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're either walking in integrity or we are not.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's this kind of integrity purgatory where I think, you know, and I think that's where most people want to hang out, honestly.
Hmm.
Nobody wants to be crooked.
True.
But we all struggle with integrity, like doing the right thing always without compromise, doing the thing that God desires of us to do. And our operating definition for the series, Integrity, the way we kind of see it played out in Scripture. Want to share with us what that is, Tori?
Yeah, our definition for integrity is doing the God-honoring thing regardless of the costs or consequences.
Regardless of the cost or consequence. Yeah, and so many things come with a cost, right? I mean, sometimes the cost is our reputation.
Yeah.
The cost isn't always financial. It could be costing time.
Sure.
Could maybe opportunities.
Right.
I mean, so the cost could be a lot of different things.
Yeah. Relationships. So, status.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, even pleasures.
True. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So today we are going to look at another Old Testament, you know, person. And it's one of those accounts in Scripture that really challenges me and challenges us when it comes to walking with integrity. I tend to be a people pleaser by nature. anyone else out there where, you know, you just, you know, you kind of put your finger in the wind. Not that you like literally do that, but that's kind of weird. But, you know, you kind of see kind of how the flow of thought is going and what people like. I'm not someone who really thrives on confrontation.
Right.
So I have a hard time. Just, an example of confrontation. Our honeymoon got breakfast one morning, and my wife got a bowl of fruit, and the backside of the fruit had mold on it.
Yeah.
And, and so she says, you know, honey, dear, my prince on the white horse, could you get me some new fruit? Could you ask the waitress, you know, give us new fruit? And I looked at her and I said, no. That was too confrontational. I mean, this is how I've come a long, long way from there.
Yes.
So just let you know that I'm not back up on the white horse, but I'm actually walking up right now. But it just, I'm not one of high confrontation.
Well, and it's scary. I mean, it is one thing I know I probably shouldn't be afraid and I could step up and speak up. But I think there's a fear, especially in our culture today. You don't want to offend someone. You don't want to be a hater. The possibility.
Right. You're afraid to say something that might be true.
Right.
Yeah. We've almost, a voice of truth or the God-honoring thing has almost been pushed to the edges. And that's, you know, that's the climate, the culture that we're in, you know, the cultural ocean that we're all swimming. And so, you know, what does integrity look like when, you know, those around us don't share the same opinion?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're going to go this morning and, you know, look at that. So why don't you join us?
Let's do it. So Puma, where are we today? Where's our big story coming from today?
Well, we're going to be looking at Job and the book of Job.
The book of Job.
Job. Probably many of you have heard Job. If you haven't, Job, the book of Job in the Old Testament, it says, Job chapter 1, just begins that, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, and he feared God and shunned evil. And we'll just stop right there. So, you know, right at the very beginning, it tells us about Job's character. He was a man who was blameless, upright. You know, it says upright, the same word that we get from Proverbs 11:3, where, you know, those who are led with integrity, you know, those who are upright, the upright.
Yeah, the NLT says Job was a man of complete integrity in verse 1.
Yeah, and that's kind of the idea of that word there. you know. And so, and he feared God and shunned evil. So he wanted to do the God-honoring thing, which meant that if something was evil, he wanted to avoid it. He wanted to mm-hmm. have a healthy respect for God, and he wanted to live blamelessly and live be a man of integrity. So that was Job. Yeah. Well, as the account goes on here, Job had a family, had sons and daughters, had a wife. He was very, very wealthy, very, very wealthy man. And God had certainly blessed him financially and with material possessions, but also with the family and everything else. Now, I'm not sure how this next thing works, but basically, Satan came to God and said, you know, God, you know, here's you know, things. You're just a God who makes people like you because you give them stuff.
Mm.
And God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? He's blameless and he's upright. And Satan's like, he only cares about you because you do good things.
Mm.
And God says, no, he cares about me because that's who he is. He's a man of, basically a man of integrity.
Yeah.
I'm summarizing, but that's basically what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan says, listen, he's not a man of integrity. He will curse you to your face if you take away the material possessions that you give. And so God says, all right, well, we'll go ahead and test Job.
Oh,
you can take away his stuff. And so as you read through the account, he loses all of his, you know, his wealth, his animals, he loses everything. And then it says that a great wind came while his all the kids were dining together and the roof collapsed on him and killed them all.
Wow.
I mean, I can't even comprehend. I mean, honestly, that how devastating that would be.
Mm.
How devastating, you know, that is. And, you know, even, you know, while he's speaking, and it all happened seemingly all in like one day.
Yeah.
And verse 21 says, at this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship. Mm. Just,
that's crazy.
It is crazy. And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And then it says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
Hmm.
I mean, he was an upright man. And so Satan's like, oh, this is no good. This is no good. So Satan goes to God, says, yeah, all right, fine. God, all right. So, yeah, take away all his stuff. But if you affect his body, then he'll curse you.
Hmm.
And God said, fine, you can go ahead and, you know, affect his body, but you can't kill him. And so Satan infects Job with all kinds of sores. And he's like, I mean, I can't understand it. Like, so he's got nothing. His kids are gone. He's miserable. And his wife says to him in verse 9 of chapter 2, says, Job, are you still holding on to your integrity?
Wow.
Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
Yeah.
Wow. You see, this is, I mean, integrity, it's easy to have integrity when everyone else agrees with me, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm going to do the God-honoring thing and then everyone else says, yeah, that's the right thing to do, it's easy to do the right thing in that moment.
Yeah, sure.
But what happens when you believe this is the right thing, the God-honoring thing, but those around you disagree? I mean, you know, I mean, how do we handle those kind of situation? The rest of the book of Job has three friends and then a fourth guy that comes, and really the whole book of Job is a dialogue between Job and his friends, basically.
Hmm.
And his friends are like, listen, Job, just admit that you're a sinner. Just admit that you did wrong, because obviously, you know, in that culture, if you do wrong, you get punished. If you do right, you get blessed.
Yeah.
And there's a general rule there. But they saw the you do right, the blessing was material blessing. If you do wrong, it's you know, financial loss. And so his friends are like, you must have done something wrong. And so basically his friends came around, just like his wife, and they're accusing Job of not being a man of integrity. In fact, they accused Job of being, you know, slandering God. They accused Job of all kinds of things, of not being an upright man, of being a hypocrite, and all kinds of things. They actually start accusing him of his integrity.
Yeah, you get talking about certain Christian things. We might have differing views, but if one group goes one way and I'm on this side, well, I almost feel like, well, I feel like I probably should join what they're thinking or saying, or I feel like I can't speak at all. Well, I can't be the one that has the odd man out. I mean, You know, you can pick any preacher, any curriculum. And if my opinion differs from the rest of the group, then yeah, a lot of times I'm like, I probably will keep to myself, you know, which is unfortunate because for me, it's not, oh, I'll go with them. I should have been quiet. But sometimes by saying nothing, I'm kind of endorsing sometimes, right?
Right. And or you have like spiritual compromise.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I went to high school, a public high school, and I found that, you know, I wanted to do the God-honoring thing. But everyone around me didn't really, I mean, there really weren't a whole lot of other Christian friends around me at the time. And I found that it was easier to do the God-honoring thing because I knew everyone around me didn't believe the same thing I did. But when I went to like a Christian college, for instance, and I'm around a bunch of other people that all say they believe the same things that I do, but then they disagree with me about how a lifestyle choice,
sure,
right? So yeah. let's just take drinking, for instance, right? So some people think it's okay to drink alcohol, you know, just casually. Others don't, you know, have a conviction.
Yeah.
If you have a conviction to not drink, it is harder to hold that conviction with other Christians who do.
True.
I found it easier to hold that conviction. So like when I worked at the public high school for a couple of years doing substitute teaching and coaching baseball, the rest of the coaches and the AD and everybody, I mean, they didn't profess faith in Jesus. And we go out golfing, right? In the summers, like every couple of weeks. And they'd bring the cooler and they'd have a couple cans of beer and they have Mountain Dew in there for me. And that wasn't a hard thing at all, right? But, you know, when I'm out with maybe some youth pastor friends and we're out at a fancy restaurant and they all order a glass of wine. See, there it was a little harder to, like, do I just kind of blend in there, or?
Yeah, because they're not just strangers. They're in your group. They're in your circle. There's some sense of identity with them, of whether it be, yeah, your class, your church, your friend group. And so for you to go against a stranger, okay, it's fine. Different views, no big deal. But when you're with your group, there's almost this like conformity mentality where you don't want to be the one guy that takes away from the group by being different.
Right. Or that one guy that makes everyone else look bad.
Right. Yeah. And the social pressure of that.
Yeah. So how do you walk with integrity when those around you disagree?
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good question.
And that's really, you know, sort of our question here as we look at Job. I mean, you know, God tested him. He was an upright, blameless man, a man of integrity. And so basically Satan's challenge to God was, Job really doesn't have any real integrity. He is only follow you because of what you do for him.
Right. The outcomes.
the outcomes. And we've talked about that, that the outcomes. So integrity is challenged as we've been looking at the series in so many different ways. You know, different ways. And, you know, one of the big ones for me is when it comes to the opinions of other people. You know, do I cater my thoughts that I might believe to be true just slightly, or maybe not share them because I know it's not going to be popular within this group, or maybe to confront somebody, maybe another someone who loves Jesus just as much as I do, but maybe I think that they are, you know, off or something and have that conversation. That's very, very hard.
Yeah. I remember when I was a children's pastor for several years, and then the youth pastor left, so I moved up to the youth pastor position and kind of oversaw the children's. And I remember the teens were telling me, oh yeah, the previous youth pastor, he said that, you know, as long as you don't use God's name in vain, it's okay to say, you know, cuss words, but not swear words. And the teens were using that. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm the new guy in this group. And do I go against the youth pastor who is still kind of at this church? Like it was such a weird place that the teens and the youth, the leadership prior was okay with that. And I wasn't. But then I'm like, well, I remember that very awkward, like, I need to take a stand right now. Why don't I start? And it was so scary. And a lot of the teens were offended. I'm like, I think it's wrong. Every careless word you speak, according to Matthew 12, right? God will hold you accountable to. But the pressure, I never thought I would be pressured. If it was like a secular group, okay, whatever, have your opinions. But this is a church. These are church leaders.
Right.
And I was going against them because of my conviction. And that was the kind of pressure I never thought I'd have to have. But it was really hard. And so, yeah, I'm with you, Puma, because to conform with your peers, in particular, I think in spiritual matters, is a lot more pressure because you don't want to be the guy that, you know, gets the group in trouble or becomes outcast. Maybe they reject you for it. You share your opinion. Okay, well, then you can leave our group, right? There is a lot of risk in that.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of risk and rejection. And honestly, people are quick to turn on you today. Yeah. There's so many options. You think of in Jesus' day when the church is being persecuted. You know what? A lot of the peripheral beliefs that people had didn't matter as long as we're holding on to Jesus. We held on, and they held on to each other because of that. Yeah. Today, partly because of our affluence, and there's so many, in a sense, Christian options.
True.
That you don't want to offend certain people. And we find this, even like you and I in ministry in our churches. You know, we have people that come to our church. We don't want to say anything offensive because they might yeah. leave.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, pastors and church leaders struggle with this. They might leave and take their checkbook with.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
there's just a lot of do you say what you believe to be true, walk with integrity when those around you, especially like those closest to you. Like for Job, I mean, his wife says, curse God and die.
Oh, that'd be so hard.
Yeah. I mean, she's mourning too. She lost all of her kids.
Right.
And she sees her husband. I mean, it's not like she's this wicked, evil person. I mean, she's hurting herself.
Yeah. Yeah. She's right? A broken woman.
Yeah. And she doesn't understand. I mean, Job doesn't understand why this happened either. In fact, one of the pictures of the book of Job is, you know, the book ends. Job never found out why this happened to him. Mm. God never tells him. He never sees what you and I, the reader, sees there. He just goes through it. But I love what it says, that in all this, Job did not sin by accusing God of wrongdoing.
So what's the secret, Puma? I mean, so here we have Job, his friends, his wife. How is he able not to conform and curse God?
Yeah. Well, I love how it started, you know, chapter one started, you know, that he was a man who was blameless, a man who was upright, who feared the Lord and shunned evil. He had a God-centered posture to his life. In other words, we were always living or conforming or following the opinions of somebody. And so, you know, if we have like an AQ question for today, is whose opinion matters to you most? See, for me, like the illustration of, you know, my honeymoon, I feared the opinion of the waitress more than I feared the opinion of my wife. Right, I wouldn't get her fresh fruit. I feared I was more concerned about what the waitress would think of me than what my wife would think of me.
Interesting.
Job, his highest value, this is what made him a man of integrity, is he cared about what God thought about him more than any other opinion. And that's the, you know, it's God's opinion that matters most. And this is why, you know, as we've talked about integrity and with this podcast and all that we ever talk about, Jesus' life and everything in between, you know, is getting to know the heart and character of our God who knows us and loves us. And the more you read the Bible and even all these different Old Testament saints and stories that we're talking about, you see God in the midst of all these situations, and we get to know the heart of God. With Job, he didn't understand why this happened to him. I mean, devastating. I can't even picture myself in his place, because I know I would not have reacted the way he reacted. I would be blaming a lot of things and God.
Sure.
And especially if like my wife or friends, closest friends come and they accuse me of being a hypocrite and evil, just how personally devastating that would be.
The temptation to agree, because you're probably already emotionally feeling like, yeah, I am a victim. But then to have your peers and your wife be like, yeah, God's doing this to you. This is all his fault. To shift the blame and to have someone to blame, right?
Right.
Sometimes when you go through trauma and just heartache, you just want something to yell at. You need a reason. You need someone to point your aggression.
Right.
And he was in the unknown. And his friends were saying, no, it's God. He's doing this to you. And yeah, but that's such a good, well, what a good AQ. Yeah, do you fear the opinions of others or God?
Yeah. Yeah, whose opinion do you value most? And honestly, God's opinion of us is true. It's accurate. It's also encouraging and loving.
Yeah.
I mean, when he says that we are sinful before him by nature and by choice, but we are so valuable to him that we are redeemable. Mm-hmm. And to be redeemed, it cost God's own life. Jesus gave himself for us. Like 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. What does that say about what God thinks of you, what God thinks of me? And do we value his opinion of us, and therefore his opinion about all other things? So yeah, to do the God-honoring thing is to care about what he cares about. To value what he values, to enjoy, get excited about the things that he gets excited about, that his perspective matters most to us. And this is what beginning of Job says, that Job was blameless, upright. He feared God. He had that healthy, respectful awe of God to the point where he wanted to shun all evil because he didn't want anything to stand between him and God.
That's good.
So much so that all this happened to him, and everyone said, curse God and die. And he said, I will not compromise on my belief that what God thinks of me and what God's way is best, and I will not compromise in that.
Well, and in the end of Job, he doesn't curse God. He questions God. I mean, so in the end, he doesn't quite get to the place where he's like, you know, God, you know, you're just evil. But he does, he's like, he asks for explanation. Right, which is interesting because even after all that, and I forget how many days they sat with him, he and his friends. I think it was several weeks. I think, but he was for a long time. His friends are pressuring him, and finally, he cracks. And by cracking, he's like, "God, just give me an answer."
Yeah,
he doesn't even
see. There's
him.
A difference between accusing questions and inquiring questions.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know, accusing questions, you know, have the, you know, basically accusation of one's character. Mm-hmm. Inquiry is just, I need an explanation.
Right.
And Job wanted an explanation, and God is not obligated to give it. And that's God's response. God is not obligated to give us a response or to give us an answer.
That's true.
Will we hold on to our integrity even then? Mm-hmm. Right? And Job did.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, the full story. God basically says, hey, I'm God, you're not. You can't demand from me. And God was stern, but God was still loving. Mm-hmm. And God never told him, like you said, God never told Job why, and yet still Job worshiped him.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I think that's good. Do I care more about the opinions of God or the opinions of men?
Yeah. Yeah. Am I wanting to walk in integrity even when those around me disagree?
That's good.
Walk with God. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Huma. And thank you, guys. Yeah, I'll wrestle with that question for for a while, for sure. But it's really good. You know, and that's our heart, right? We want this podcast to be a platform where you care more about the opinions of God than us.
Right.
You care more about the opinions of God than your friends, even than your pastor, right? You care more about the opinions of God and what his word says over people, even godly people. And that's good. And guys, yeah, as always, if you have any questions, we would love to hear from you guys. You can always email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in and just joining us in this journey of integrity. And I look forward to next week's episode. So we'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10.
Yep,
we'll see you then. Bye.